2.
You have your Bibles tonight. Acts chapter 2, verses 37 through 47. The Bible says, "Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said unto them, Repent, and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, Save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men, as every man had need. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking of bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." Let's have open in the word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd be with me tonight. Lord, I pray that you'd fill me with your power. And Lord, just move me out of the way. And thank you, Lord, for the opportunity we have to gather here together. And thank you for the faithfulness of your people here. In your name, amen. As we look around our church, we see a wide variety of people. Just for fun, how many have been members of Heritage Baptist Church for 25 to 30 years? If you would, stand up, if you could. I know we've got the Donahues, the Rouses. All right, if you've been members of our church for 20 to 25 years, would you stand? All right, we've got the Ortezes and the Hobbs and the Commanders. Okay? And Mrs. Gibbons. Grandma Gibbons over here. She's been like a grandma to me. All right? So that's 20 to 25, 15 to 20 years. Got the Merrills, the Rosses. Okay? 10 to 15. Is that that one? All right? 5 to 10 years. 2 to 5 years. Got the Robinsons. All right? Veronica finally gets to stand up. All right, now if you've been a member of our church for less than 2 years, would you stand? Everyone else is like, yes. All right, who may be seated? And everybody that was from that 25 to 30, they're like, boy, why'd you have us go first? We had to stand the whole time. As you can see, just by looking around, we have a lot of people that are brand new at our church, 2 years or less. And that's exciting. I'm excited about that. Some of us that have been around here for quite some time, we've got some memories here at our church. I love the history of our church. I've been a member here for almost 24 years. We came in 1989. First church that we came to sat right over here. My parents were on the second row. We were on the first row. And just fell right in love with the preacher. Now that she came in late because she had to take her kids up, you've been here less than 2 years, right, Kelly? And so she's in that last category as well, the Salcedos. But I remember sitting in that front row, preacher talking to us about hunting and fishing and all that. And we just fell in love with the church. And we fell in love with the preacher. And the building was completely different. If you ask some of us that have been around for a long time, just night and day. Nurseries used to be right over here where the bathrooms were. How many remember that? Yeah. And they had a split door, and they had infants on one side and everybody else on the other side. And then we had one bathroom with one stall, and that's it for the entire church. When we had our vacation Bible school, we'd have to bring in outhouses to use because we'd have so many kids with just one place to go. And so you'd be standing there just waiting patiently. And the back part here was completely wide open. The baptistry up here did not exist. We had one set of stairs, and that was pretty much it. And then there was up in the upstairs, there was kind of a small area that you could walk by, and that was about it. But big, huge, wide open area back here. And after church, everybody used to go, the kids would go back there and would play, and adults would stay in here and would fellowship for a while. Then we got into building projects, and we started to build. People started to give, and we had a team that came out that really helped us with the sheetrocking, with putting the pillars that were back here, the support beams and all that, and now we have our beautiful church that we've got. I remember when we put in the baptistry, I think my brother was the first one thrown into that that night. And we used to do a lot of work nights. We'd come and get to the church, and we'd put in some hard labor, building walls and everything else. And then Roy Rouse had Stage Line Pizza. He'd show up with pizza, and work would stop. And we'd gather around in a room back here, and we'd eat pizza. And then some of the kids that were in school, the teenagers, we'd have to leave. And some guys would be here till the wee hours of the morning, just working. And then as time goes on, we gain more people, and we started to do other projects. Siding this building here. Remember the green that it used to be with the big, huge sign, the Heritage Baptist Church, when we tore it down. And now we got the new siding that was up. We paved the parking lot. I remember when we bought the green chairs, we used to have hard metal chairs in here. They were the worst. And our services didn't end at 7 o'clock on a Sunday night. And we'd have 2-3 specials a night, people singing, and we'd get out at 8 o'clock, 8:30, and you'd be sitting on those nice hard metal chairs that we have over in building number 2 for the entire church service. And then the preacher found these chairs and got excited about it, and we had to buy a row of chairs. And people started giving for that. And that was just a few years ago, about 10 years ago or so, and that we've had these. And it's exciting to look back what we used to be. When the base had flight mission here, we had a service. We had to bring your friend to church service. And I think we broke 500 during that service. We averaged over 300. And then, of course, they pulled out the flight missions, and we took a drastic change. But, you know, that's part of our history of our church. And it's fun to look back, and for those of us that have been around for a while, to look back on that and to think about it. A preacher talks about it. If you tear down the sheetrock here, you have the 2x4s of names on it. People signed it and stuff like that that did the work. And it's fun to look back on it. It's fun to see. When you think of the history of our church has sent out members of our church to be missionaries. Such as the Ortezes, Nathan Gross, and several others as well, that were missionaries to Barbados, and we took missions trips to the Dominican Republic, and to the Philippines, and to Mexico, and went up into Canada a lot of times. We've seen thousands of people trust Christ as their Savior. We've seen thousands of church members that have come, that have been part of our church, and then move out with the base and go somewhere else, and become an anchor in a church. I think of just in my family, you know, my brother-in-law Zach came in and moved down to Colorado Springs. And that's the nature of our church. Our pastor understands that. Brother Hiles told him in the parking lot. He tells a story quite often. He told him, Dr. Shear, you'll never have a big church because you'll get people in and eventually they'll move because, not that they want to, but that's just life at a military base. And so we've got a lot of history here. But, you know, it's one thing to just look back on the history. Because if all you do is just remember what used to be, there's no focus on the present. And the present is what's exciting. When you look around and you see all those people that stood up that have been members of our church for 2 years or less, and it's half the church, that's exciting. That shows growth in the church. And it's exciting for Pastor Shear and I. We were talking and just how excited we are just to see the young people getting into the church and new families and adding the new deacons on, along with retaining our old deacons as well. And just, I remember at our deacons meeting when Pastor Shear was asking who we should nominate. And John Connor made a comment about, you know, we should get in some young guys and have some of the deacons that have been around for a long time, kind of bring them under their wing and teach them what a deacon is supposed to be. That's our responsibility. And as Christians and as members of Heritage Baptist Church, we also have a responsibility. We can't just look back on their past and just say, this is what our church used to be. Our church used to have X amount of people in our buses, or it used to have X amount of people in our pews and sitting in our seats on Sunday morning and Sunday night. Because that's not what it is now. We have to look at the people that are in our church now and what are they doing as members of Heritage Baptist Church. And so I just wanted to teach just a little bit about what the responsibility of a church member is. What is your responsibility? What are you expected to do when you become a member of Heritage Baptist Church? My dad taught my family how to be a responsible church member. I got lucky. I was raised up in church. I remember, as far back as I can remember, we've been in church. In Germany or in here, we've been in church. And my dad taught us how we're supposed to be when we're in church. He taught us how to sit right. He taught us how to listen. He taught us how to back the pastor. I remember when difficulties were happening in our church and struggles that were going on and some of the people that were fighting against the pastor and just not really agreeing. They didn't like the fact that preacher talked about money. He talked about tithing. He talked about giving. And they didn't like that. And they pulled a couple people away. And I remember my dad saying to us, he'd say, you stand by the man of God. And he taught us that. And it's amazing to see that the three of us, my brother, sister, and I, all of us are in church, active church members. And it's a reflection of how they taught us and how they raised us. My brother is doing fantastic in Columbus, leading people, Lord, active soul winner, singing and choir and all that stuff, doing what he can. My sister in her church, and they love it. And it's because they've been taught how to be a church member, what their role is, what they're supposed to do. But not everybody's that way. Not everybody was raised up in church. That's not who you are. Or maybe it is you. But everybody's going to be a little bit different. And you can't expect somebody who is raised one way to act the same as somebody who's raised another. It's just impossible. So I want to talk about how to be a responsible church member. Number one is attend church. Boy, that's real hard, isn't it? Be in your place. And I know I'm preaching to the choir tonight. Wednesday night, the group that's here is usually the backbone of the church. They're the ones that are serious about coming. They're the ones that love to come to church. They're wanting to be here. This is nothing that's new to you about being in church, because you're here. But you have to be here in order to be the right type of church member. You have to be present. Preacher talks about it all the time, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves as a manner of some is, but so much more is to see the day approaching. But what would cause you to forsake our church? What's more important? To you, something comes up and it's on a Sunday morning, a Sunday night, or a Wednesday night, and you have that option. Do I go or do I go to church? What could possibly be more important than church? Now, on a side note, I know people work. I know. I remember my dad, he'd pack up and he'd have to go out in the field for 5 days. And sometimes that meant Christmas happened on the 23rd instead of the 25th. That happens. That's life. You know, you can't get away from that. Sometimes you have to work. If it's your choice, what do you choose? Do you choose church or do you choose something else? Summer's going to be coming up pretty quickly. Sports are going to start happening. Soccer, baseball. Is that really more important than church? What's the message that you send to your children when you say, all right, get your gear on. It's time to go play soccer Sunday morning. But wait a minute. I thought we were going to Sunday school. From January to March, and maybe even April, hey, we had no problem coming. But then all of a sudden, this comes up and we're not going to church? Is it because baseball or soccer is more important than God? What would cause you to forsake going to church? Forsaking just means to turn away from. Thought is to turn away, to turn your back on it. And granted, we've got people that are here Wednesday night, and you look around and people are missing. If you got your church directory out, you could go through it and find out who it is. And I'm not saying that we need to hound them and, you know, yell at them and you know, call them up and condemn them for missing church, but we should be an encouragement to them. Maybe they're sick. Maybe they got something, you know, work or something like that. But there are people that are missing. And I wonder why. What's more important than right now? Not that I'm anything special because I'm not, but the Word of God is. And any time, one thing that we were taught is any time there's something happening at the church, we're in our place. Because we're not going to forsake it. We're not going to turn our back on our church because God is more important than anything else. If we have the choice to make, we're going to be a church. We'll be in our place. And we're going to be an encouragement to everybody else that's there. But you know, when you're not here, somebody misses you. Every single service, I look out and I start counting deacons. Just so I can see who, you know, and I know some of them have to work, like Tucker. You know, if Sammy's not here because he's out in the field. Connors are sick. Pray for them. The whole family's sick. But I sit there and I look out and I start counting them. How many do we have? Wonder who's here. Wonder why they're not here. Then I start praying for them. Then I look out and I see, I start going through the directory in my mind. Who's missing here? Sometimes I'll write it down on a sheet of paper in my Bible and just write down who's not here and then I'll go home and pray for them. Not because, you know, I think that they're wicked or anything like that, but you just never know what caused them not to be there. But you know the reason why. You know what you put over church. And that's what matters. It's not on me to find out why you miss church. That's between you and God. But if you want to be the best church member that you can be, if you want to be the type that is going to please God, when those doors open, you're going to be in your place. And you're going to teach your kids by doing that, that you're supposed to be in your spot. You're supposed to be here when the church doors open up, on special meetings, on Wednesday night. No matter what happens, we're at church. Second thing is listening to the preacher. As you see here in Acts chapter 2, it says they continued in the doctrine of the apostles. In verse 42, it says, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and in prayers. The only way to get the doctrine that the apostles were teaching was to be there. Of course, but then they had to apply what they heard. That's the hardest part. Pastor Shear gets up and he starts preaching about something, or somebody else, Brother Mark, comes in and he starts preaching about what the Bible says, and you start thinking to yourself, boy, yeah, he stomped on my toes. Felt that one tonight. Friday night when Brother Mark preached about demons dancing with the light. Boy, I tell you, if you didn't hit the altar, something's wrong, because that was a powerful message. But a lot of people don't want to admit they're wrong. A lot of people don't want to have to listen to the pastor when he stands up and says, "Thus saith the Lord God." We want to reason our way out of it and say, well, it's not exactly that way. Or if a pastor says to do something and, you know, he comes and he gives you counsel and you say, well, that's just his opinion. I don't really have to listen to it, do I? Hebrews chapter 13. Bible says, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves. We like using that to our kids. I have the rule over you. You're going to submit yourself to me and obey me. We like using that with the teenagers. But then when it comes to the church members, well, you mean I have to submit my will to the pastors? But I'm a grown man. I'm the head of my household. I'm the one that's in charge, and I have to listen to somebody else? Yeah. That's his job. The pastor's job is to be the shepherd, is to be the undertaker, to be the president. Now, granted, people may not like the president, but if this law, you have to listen to it. That's just the way it is. You go ahead and try doing what you want in Great Falls and have GFPD pull up behind you. Go ahead and go 50 through a school zone and see that cop sitting on the corner and say, ah, it's all right. It don't matter. Now, of course, we look at that. Anytime somebody sees a police officer driving their car, the first thing we do is we let off the gas and look at our speedometer and say, where's it at? Was I going too fast? My seatbelt's on, right? If it's not, it's kind of slyly slide it over. Why? Because we know that we have to obey those laws. We know that the police department does have the rule over us, and we have to submit ourselves to the rules that have been set up in our city. And we have to abide by that. And they're there to enforce it, to make sure that our city abides by those laws. We have to obey them. But the pastor, who's the head of the church, sometimes we struggle just that little bit because it conflicts with I'm the head of the household. But he still has a rule over us. He's the one that has to give an account someday. As it continues on, it says, for they watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. When you fight the authority that God has placed in your life, it's unprofitable for you. Even though he stands one day in front of God and gives an account for how he pastored you, how he led you, the counsel that he gave you, it's still going to be unprofitable for you if you won't submit to it. Every single person here, the moment that they become a member of Heritage Baptist Church, by doing so, you have placed yourself under the authority and leadership of our pastor. And that's tough sometimes. Because there are times that he said to me, hey, this is what I want you to do. And I'm like, oh. I remember as a teenager, I'd sit underneath the buffalo because I didn't listen to the authority that was my pastor. Now, when I go up to his office, I don't sit under the buffalo because it brings back bad memories. Why? Because I did not listen to the authority that was in my life at that time. And so he'd call me up to the office and he'd set me straight because that's his responsibility. As members of Heritage Baptist Church, we have to submit ourselves to the authority that is our pastor. We have to listen to him. We have to abide by what he says. And if he's wrong, and he may be, he's just as human as you and I are. But it's still profitable for you. Because when you stand before God, you can say, I was listening to my pastor. Now, of course, if it's something that is against the Scriptures, that's something different. But if he's giving you counsel, you have to abide by it. Thirdly, is support the work. The Bible tells us in Acts chapter 1, they were in one accord. They were in one mind. They got together to do something. They all worked with the same purpose, and that was to reach the lost. How is it that 12 disciples, who the Bible says were unlearned men, they were not highly educated, but they were highly motivated. How is it that these 12 men, unlearned, they didn't sit at the feet of the high priest and listen to the teachings. They didn't study the Bible for years on end. They weren't like Nicodemus who could quote the first 5 books of the Bible. But yet they turned the world upside down. Why? Because they all were focused on the same thing. When I went to college, I had an opportunity to go to a Stanford-USC football game. It was great. And Stanford was just terrible during that time. And the stands were pretty empty. And so we got to sit pretty much wherever we wanted to. And halftime came. And Stanford's band came out to play during halftime. And they were all dressed goofy. Everybody was completely different. And they just ran around the field in chaos while the music was playing. And then the music would stop and they would freeze. And they would freeze in weird positions and everything else. And everybody would laugh. Then the music would start back up again and they would run around in chaos. Everybody was just doing their own thing. And it was fun. It was amusing for a little bit. And then after they cleared the field, USC came out. And if you've ever seen USC's marching band, it is something else. Their uniforms are just perfect. They marched right in step. They played perfectly. It was just great. Everybody just stopped and just listened. They all played the same song, but yet with different instruments. They played different notes, but it all blended together. Why? Because they had one goal. One mind. And that was to perform this piece that they were doing to the best of their ability. And when they all marched together, it made Stanford's band look like a joke. Why? One accord, one mind. At Heritage Baptist Church, we have a lot of unique individuals. A lot of different personalities. A lot of different backgrounds. But yet, when we come together, if we all have the same focus and the same goal, and that's to reach the lost, we can get something done. Granted, just like with the band, they play different instruments, and everybody will have different responsibilities. But yet, if you're focused in on the same goal, we can accomplish something. But when everybody's pulling their own way, wanting to do their own thing, show up late, come in on two wheels, why? Well, just because. When you just decide, you know what, I'm just going to skip out on church tonight. It's not really that important. But I don't want to tell anybody else about our church. I'm too embarrassed. I don't like what preacher's talking about. That just doesn't sit right. You start pulling each different direction, our church can't accomplish much. We have to be in one mind. I've got four more and I've got 8 minutes. Here we go. Respond to the invitation. We just had a great week of meetings and the altar was full. What happens when preacher comes back in a Sunday morning and he preaches his heart out and everybody just stands there? Is it because the Spirit of God didn't move? Is God dead? Was His presence not here at our church? Or did we just think that Sunday morning's invitation is just for the lost? It's not for me. So I just stand right here and then we'll be out of here on time and I'll be able to go eat. Be able to head over to Golden Corral and beat the rush. The invitation. When my wife and I first got married, I told her, I said, when the invitation comes, we're not going to be holding hands. I'm not going to put my arm around you. I'm not going to be hanging on you. I'm not going to steal a kiss or an invitation when nobody else is looking. It's a solemn time. I don't want to sit there and be having my arm around her or holding her hand and she's feeling the tugging of the Holy Spirit to come down to the altar and I'm holding her back. I don't want to be an obstacle for anybody else that looks maybe peeking at the invitation time. Not supposed to, but some people do. Shame on you. But I don't want to be a distraction to what's going on. We don't talk. We don't play around. I teach my son, if I see him playing around, I give him the look and he knows what that means. Why? Because I'm teaching him. I tell him, this is the most important time of the service. This is what it's all about. This is when decisions are made. This is when people come forward and make decisions and they leave different than when they come in. The altar is not just for people that have sinned and want to get their hearts right with God. Sometimes we get that misconception that if I come forward, it's because I got some sin in my life that I've been holding on to and I need to give it up and get right with God. Or maybe it's something I'm not doing that I need to get right with, and so I need to come forward and I need to get it right with God and continue being the type of Christian that God wants me to be. That's not what the altar is all about. That's a piece of it, but that's not all of it. There are times when I'll come down and I'll just kneel and I don't feel any conviction. But I just kneel down and I just start praying. I start praying for our church. I start praying for our pastor and I thank God for him. And I start praying for my family and for my boys and for the day that I can lead them to the Lord. Why? Because I want to keep my heart tender. I don't want it to get hardened. The more times that I stand, either in my seat or stand over here or wherever I'm at, and I don't move to the forward, to the altar, I harden up just a little bit. And then the next time, it gets a little bit harder to come forward, and a little bit harder, and a little bit harder. And you say, well, and you reason in yourselves and you say, you know what, I'll get it right at home. When I go home, I'll go home and I'll pray and then I'll get right with God and or I'll pray when I get home and maybe it's not that something's wrong, but I just don't want to go forward. And the heart just loses that softness just a little bit. Why? Because there's no response when the Holy Spirit's moving. We've quenched the Holy Spirit. I don't want to be a discouragement to my pastor. I know as a preacher, when you preach, he likes seeing the altar filled. Not for our own pride. And Brother Terza will attest to this. It's not that we get some satisfaction of seeing that people are at the altar. It's because of the fact that when you see people at the altar, you know that the Spirit of God is moving and that people's heart are soft and will listen to the Word of God. That's why we want to see people forward. We know you're right. The people that don't move, they're the ones that are a little bit more concerning. The ones that never step forward. The ones that never sit down in their seat and just take a moment to pray. Why? Because there's nothing there. It's just the hardness. Just the shell. Use the altar. If you're going to be a good member, use the altar. Mrs. Hobbs liked this one. If you're going to be a good member of Heritage Baptist Church, tithe. Do it properly. Do it biblically. Not just tithe, but give offerings too. Our missions have been struggling just a little bit, hasn't it? Those missionaries depend on that money. We hoard it. We think nothing of going and spending $30 at McDonald's or ordering pizza. And then we wonder, well, I couldn't give my missions. I wonder, things just were tight this month. Why? Because it just wasn't important to us. Tithe. The Bible talks about in Malachi how we're supposed to bring our tithes and our offerings to the storehouse. A tithe is the 10% of your gross income, of all your increase. Everything that you have gotten, you tithe. At Eagles Manor, the residents there, they're so sweet. And when I walk in, they have the platform already set up. And occasionally they'll leave a couple dollars up on the platform for me just to show some appreciation for coming. That night, I take out and I'll count out how much it was and 10% of it drops in the plate. I increased. I have to tithe off it. If you look in your checkbook, you look online or however you balance your account, you'll see what's important to you by what you're spending. Where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. The more that you give towards the work of God, the more that your heart just melts and mends with it. The more that you give, the more that you attach that you become. You can never outgive God. Tithes and offerings. Pray for the leadership of the church. As we read in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17, it talks about the weight that our pastor has as far as he's going to have to give account. He needs our prayers. In over in Exodus, real quickly, chapter 17, Moses here is up on the mountain and Joshua is fighting against Amalek. And as Moses' hands go up, the Israelites start to win. When his arms come down, then Amalek's forces start to win. And so Aaron and Hur, who went up with him, they roll the rock over and they they stood beside him, and he sat down on it. And it, in verse 12 it says, "But Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon, and Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on one side, the other side, and the other on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword." We need to lift up our pastor. That's our responsibility. Have you prayed for him? Saturday night, do you pray for services Sunday? Throughout the week, do you just pray for our pastor, for his health, for his wife, for his family? If you know our pastor just goes. He is one busy person. How much do we pray for him? How much do we go to God to lift him up? Are we lifting up his arms? Are we being a help to him? Or are we wanting him to just serve us? Our pastor will give you everything he has. And he's shown it over the years. It's amazing. I've never seen anybody who cares more for his people than Pastor Shear. And what are we doing in return? Are we being that encouragement? How many of us have stopped by his house just to say hi? How many of us have done something for him, taken him out to dinner, or just gone to the Lord in prayer for him? Or do we just go about our business and then show up on Sunday and expect to be fed, and then go back our way? Pray for our pastor. Lastly, is reach others. You cannot be a strong member of Heritage Baptist Church if you don't invite anybody else to come. You can't be the type of member that God wants you to be if you just take your light and put it under that bushel. God says we're supposed to set it on top of a hill. The city that is set on a hill cannot be hid because of the light that shines. How brightly are you shining? So we did this at college once. Every single person took a candle. And they turned the lights off, and they had a flashlight. They flipped it on. And if you had one light, one person can see what they're doing. But you take every single person, and you take a candle, and they all light it, and they all hold it up. And they just hold it at their station, wherever they're at. Everybody can see. Because everybody's light is shining. If every single member of Heritage Baptist Church shines for Christ, tells others, invites people to come, imagine how full our church could be. That's our job. Somebody told us, we're supposed to tell somebody else. The role of a church member: show up, listen to the pastor, support the work, respond to the invitation, tithe, pray for the leadership, reach others. And there's so much more. But that's just the basics right there. That's church membership 101. How are you doing? What areas do you need to fix or get better at? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd be with us now as we go our separate ways. Lord, I think of our pastor tonight who's away from us. Lord, I pray that you'd just be with him and Mrs. Shear. I know he's a little concerned about having her away from home and traveling. Lord, I pray that you'd just give him a great time over there. Lord, I pray that you'd be with the members of Heritage Baptist Church. Lord, I pray that we would be the best members that we can be. Not for our pastor, not for the other members of Heritage Baptist Church, but Lord, it's because we represent you. And we want to do it to the best of our ability. Pray that you'd be with us as we go our separate ways. In your name, amen. God bless you. You are dismissed.